Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is We Talk Productions, one of the few Black-owned radio networks that addresses issues with solutions. Presents Black Urban America. All you folks that listen by laptops, if you have a comment or you would like to call, you may dial 516-531-9540 and just press 1. On Tuesday, we have myself, Black Urban America. I'm your host. My name is Kenny Jones. On Thursday, we have Port of Harlem Magazine Radio by Wayne A. Young. On Saturdays, we have Provocative Thoughts by Carlton Steed. All programs begin at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Last week, if you tried to listen to the shows, we had some technical problems with Blog Talk again. So we'd just like to apologize if you tried to tune in and we just weren't there. It wasn't our fault. We were here, but they weren't. Tonight, what is special education is supposed to achieve? Is special education accomplishing its mission? Why does special education have such a negative reputation? Do they treat special educational students different from traditional students? My guest tonight, she's very active in education. She's an educator. She's an activist. And she has her ears to the community issues, especially dealing with the politicians in her city. And she will be joining us on a monthly basis starting tonight. And she reads some of her posts. I mean, she addresses everything from police brutality to education to housing. Especially, she holds the public administrators in her city accountable. She just don't sit on her couch and complain. She doesn't hide behind a computer and talk mess. She is out there. And I'd like to welcome you tonight. I'd like to welcome her back. And I look forward to working with her in the upcoming months. Her name is Miss Beverly Williams. How you doing, Miss Williams? Miss Williams? Miss Williams?
Yes.
How you doing?
Fine. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Do we have somebody else?
Yeah.
Okay, let's get right to it. I just want to ask you some questions before we get into the case.
Okay.
What is the purpose of special education?
Special education is needed for children who have disabilities and need an individualized education plan in order to access the curriculum in the least restrictive environment that is possible, be it in a regular classroom with supplemental aids and supports, all the way to the most restrictive environment, which is being in a self-contained classroom with students who also have disabilities.
Now, I just want to say before I go on, if you have a question or comment, just press 1. How are special education children or students really treated in the school system, especially your school system? overall.
Okay, well, when you say the my school system, you know, basically, it's, let's look at Milwaukee Public Schools, which
that's
is
your
public school
system. That's your school
well,
system.
Well, no. Right, the public school system in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Is that the school system
yes.
that I work in?
Yeah, well,
right,
I'm
so
talking
let's
about.
Just, let's say,
I'm
right,
talking
right,
about.
I understand what you're saying.
Yes. I'm uh-huh. talking about MPS.
Right, Milwaukee Public Schools, Milwaukee Public Schools. Well, right now, Milwaukee Public Schools is in a lot of trouble. You know, we have the Christmas holidays right now. Everyone should be celebrating with happiness, thankfulness, joy, and cheer. And we have a parent, Miss Garcia, who is dealing with the pain of her autistic son from not only school-wide Christmas programs, but any program that is held at Parkside Elementary and Milwaukee Public Schools. Okay, Miss Garcia did go public with the treatment of her son, hoping that this would bring attention to her son's plight and also the other children who are in her son's most restrictive placement, which is a self-contained classroom in the basement of a school in Milwaukee Public Schools called Parkside Elementary. She
right.
went on and she talked about the fact that for 8 years, 8 years, and she will be on tonight. She should be calling in a few.
What's her last four numbers?
Her last four numbers, Mr. Jones, ends in 88. Well, I believe. Well, let's say
819.
Yes.
Miss Garcia, if you had called, please press 1. I just bring you right on, and so you can have this
okay.
dialogue. Was Miss Williams myself? This press
okay.
one. Oh, okay. She did. Okay.
Very good. Okay.
Welcome to
okay,
the
now,
Welcome Black Earth America, Miss Garcia. How are you?
Hi, I'm fine. How are you?
I'm fine. I'm very sorry to hear about the complications that you're having. With your son in the school. So I'm really basically going to turn it over to you two ladies, to
mm-hmm.
discuss the issue about what's going on with your son and whatnot.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Jones. Okay, now I want to say this before Ms. Garcia starts giving us the situation that occurred with her son that made her go to the media. First of all, her son has autism. She,
right.
she feels
excuse me.
She's on the
you
spectrum.
Say autism. Can you define or explain to the audience what is autism?
Okay, Ms. Garcia, would you like to talk to the audience about your son's abilities?
Yes. So he's autistic. There's like millions of different diagnoses of autism. He himself, he just has a speech delay, a communication delay. That's it. There's nothing else that he has delays in. It's just his speech. You know, he's capable of doing everything else like any other child. It's just his communication is real low.
Mm-hmm. So why was he, I'm sorry, Ms. Williams, if he just had a speech delay, well, okay, I'm going to take you back to 30 years ago, okay? I'm going to bring a little history. Okay, was special education really hit the scene and what have you? It really was supposed to be for disabilities, but in some cities and towns, they use special education for students that have behavioral issues, that were acting out. And in fact, they were set aside in another part of the building or in the basement or in another, a whole entirely different school. And just recently, I say in the past like 15 years, they started like implementing a policy that integrate students with disability with the other population of the school. Is that happening?
Well, that's inclusion. What they do to my son. He's been in the basement for 8 years.
With just a speech delay. Now we're not talking no behavior problems or he just have a speech impediment that you think
yes,
he should go
he
to
has
a speech
no
therapist
behavioral problems.
And to address. So why was he in the basement for 8 years? And why did it take he was in the basement by himself or in a classroom in the basement with other students?
His
class was in the basement.
Yes.
Go ahead, Ms. Williams. I'm sorry.
Okay. You know, Milwaukee Public Schools, especially at the school Parkside Elementary, it was a draconian approach. You know, as you stated 15 years ago, we're past that now. We're past that now. We're into the method of inclusion. Now, autism spectrum disorder is distinguished by a wide variety of social communication and cyclical behaviors that are considered somewhat out of character for children, okay? So we have a wide range of children who are considered autistic, a wide range of autism. What Milwaukee Public School did is they went all the way back, okay, to 15 years ago. Okay, we're past that now. Okay, there are so many ways, in my opinion, just from what the mother has said, that her son could have been included in with regular ed students based on his individualized education plan. Now, the individualized education plan addresses the unique needs of each individual student based on their disability according to the IDEA laws.
The IDEA laws?
IDEA laws are federal laws, okay, it's called the Individual with Disabilities Education Act, okay?
Right.
It's been in existence for years, you understand?
Like 75 years.
Years, okay? It's been in existence for years, the IDEA, all right? And that's to look at the unique needs of each student. And these unique needs are guided by the student's IEP. They're guided by the student's IEP. Okay, and now with special ed, we're going towards inclusion. Okay,
right.
Inclusion of students with disabilities in the least restrictive environment. There are so many things that could have been done with Ms. Garcia's son in regards to his IEP. Now, I'm going to let Ms. Garcia speak about the IEP meetings that she has attended in Milwaukee Public Schools and what has been done to her, which happens with a lot of children in MPS, okay, in public schools, not only MPS, but across the nation. They bring parents into these meetings. They have six or seven professionals sitting around, and they're basically just developing this IEP without parental input or giving the parent knowledge of what's going on. There are places in the IEP where they could have discussed giving her son an assistant to go with him into that gym, that auditorium for the Christmas program, okay? Or possibly he could have had an assistant to go into art, to music, okay? Or even go into some type of regular ed classroom. But they didn't care. They did not care. But I'm going to let Ms. Garcia talk about what has happened with her son for the last 8 years.
Yeah, so I never knew I could put my own goals in his IEP for my son. The 8 years that I've been having these meetings with six or seven professional teachers and other professionals there, they never told me, like, what my son's rights were in this IEP. It was just, oh, this year, would you like Raylando to learn how to count to 10? Or would you like him to learn how to write this or that? I was never taught or nobody ever told me that, like, I had a voice for him in his IEP. It was basically what the teachers wanted. Never what
so
I wanted.
So they never asked
never
you. They never asked you, Ms. Garcia, what they're supposed to. I know New York, we try to have the parental involvement much as possible. They never asked you what did you want for your son.
No, they never asked me. They just put ideas to the table and had me choose from their opinions and their ideas that they wanted, their goals for my son. Like, I never knew I could ask for an assistant. I never knew I could ask for my son to be with the regular ed students for this class or this class. I never knew I could ask them, I want my son to participate in all the Christmas concerts, because I just thought all children were going to be included in the concerts. Like, I never knew that. I never knew that. For 8 years, I just learned that today. She just told me today before me getting on air with you guys that I had a say in his IEP. I never knew I had a say in his IEP.
Oh, yeah.
Parents
Matter of fact, I'm going to tell you, in school conferences where they discuss the student IEPs, they have a whole section just for parents' recommendation, parents' concerns, parents' this and that and so. So, wow. So they really struck, well, I call it strong arm. They really strong arm you into doing what they want to do with your son.
Right.
Now,
so
Ms.
how
Garcia,
did that
let
make
you?
Go ahead.
Oh, go on, Mr. Jones. Okay.
Go ahead,
Mr. Jones. Let me ask you this. Let me ask you this question. Since you have gone public with your son not being allowed to participate in the Christmas program, okay, and the public heard him singing on TV. We also saw his calm demeanor, okay. Has anyone come to you and say, well, we're going to reconvene his IEP so we can look at the section that discusses participation with regular ed peers and supplemental aids and supports? Has anyone talked to you about opening up, I should say, or calling you back in for an IEP meeting to change his IEP?
They haven't even contacted me after we went on Fox 6 News. After my story reached Fox 6 News, I thought for sure MPS is going to call me. For sure the school is going to call me. No, they haven't reached out to me not one time.
Well, they haven't reached out
called?
To you because now they know they're
that's
in the lawsuit.
That's called
mm-hmm.
arrogance. Yeah, that's called arrogance and no compassion and no empathy. And it's a shame that these professionals were not embarrassed by that commentary, because I looked at it myself.
And, you know, unfortunately, that's what Milwaukee Public Schools does. Once attention is brought to an issue, right now there are so many things going on in Milwaukee Public Schools that the public does not know. I've spoken to some of these people. They're whistleblowers in Milwaukee Public Schools.
Which,
will be
in which
we're going
to have these whistleblowers come on Black Urban America in the upcoming months, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes, they've agreed. Yeah, a few of them have agreed to do that. But there are so many things that are going on in Milwaukee Public Schools behind the scenes that people do not understand or know. But you would think, but see, they're so afraid of litigation. So you would think the Milwaukee Public Schools would be more concerned about the child and say, okay, we're going to reconvene. And when I use the word reconvene, meaning we're going to call this parent in because now we know that she wants her son to participate more, which is the goal of the federal IDEA laws, to participate more with regular ed children in the least restrictive environment. We're going to go ahead and call this parent in, and we're going to open up the IEP, and we're going to see what her desires are for her child. No, they're not doing that because they're afraid of litigation. And by them doing that, that's admitting that they were wrong, Ms. Garcia. That's why they're not calling you to open up the IEP. That's the reason.
So, Ms. Garcia, how do you feel, first of all, how do you feel about your son? Class being in the basement for 8 years with no support and no follow-up and no services? And how do you feel about not being more involved in the IEP of your son?
I mean, it hurts me as a parent because my son's already left behind in society itself. Him being autistic, he's left out in a lot. And I feel like the school shouldn't, it shouldn't start at the school. I feel like his school should feel more welcoming. His school should be more accommodating to him, and they're not. And like I said, I know it's been 8 years, and I should have pulled him from the school a long time ago. But the thing is, my son has a relationship, a special relationship with his teacher he has now. And it would devastate him if I pulled him out of that school. Because my teacher is wonderful. It's not, right. You know, it's not her choice to keep him out of the Christmas concert. It's the school, and she's on my side. She was ready to be on Fox 6 with me. She was ready to talk to the reporters because she knows it's wrong. She's his teacher, though. So she does everything she can to accommodate him as much as she can. But the school, like them having him in the basement, it's like they tell all the other children, don't talk to them. Just keep walking. Let's not talk to them. Just act like they're not there. So they put him in the basement. He's been with three teachers since K-3. He had his K-3 teacher for K-3, K-4, first and second grade. His second teacher was like third and fourth grade. And the teacher he has now, he'll graduate eighth grade with her. So it's like they, all them years, the special education teachers are in the basement of the school.
Well, let me ask
They're
you
not upstairs by all the...
Let me ask you, Ms. Garcia. Are all of the special ed classrooms in the basement? Ms.
Hello?
Garcia? Yes.
I'm sorry, you broke off.
Are all of the special education classrooms in the basement?
Are all of them?
Yes.
Yes.
Wow.
Well,
so,
they are separate
from the other students. Like you said a minute ago, the other students are encouraged not to speak to the students that are in these special ed classrooms.
Right.
So
because, like I said, my five-year-old goes there. So do my stepdaughters, and they come home and tell me, Mom, when we go to the bathroom and the special kids are in the bathroom, we can't go in the bathroom while they're in the bathroom. We have to wait. So it's like, why?
So they are learning. So the kids are learning a level of discrimination. And they are also learning a level of stereotyping someone that's not like them, I should say.
Right.
So what were your teachers? So tell me, your teacher that you've been knowing for a couple of years that your son have a relationship to, what are some of the teacher's perspectives about this? What are their feelings about this?
Now Mr. Jones, let me say this real quick, Ms. Garcia and Mr. Jones. When Ms. Garcia stated that, you know, I worked in NPS for 20 years, I no longer work with them, but as a special ed teacher, but I will say this, according to the contract for teachers, if his teacher would have gone on Fox 6 with you, she would have been unemployed the next day, just so you know, because there is an ethics clause, okay? There is an ethics clause. But I also want to say this quickly, just real quickly so everyone will understand, okay, because this is federal law. The goal of the Individual with Disabilities Education Act is to ensure that all children with disabilities are entitled to a free, appropriate public education to meet their unique needs and prepare them for further education employment, and independent living. This did not happen in Milwaukee Public Schools. And the special ed teachers around Ms. Garcia and her son knows this. But go ahead, Ms. Garcia, and say what you wanted to say.
His teacher, Ms. Denti, she feels the same way. She knows it's wrong. She knows there needs to be changes in the school. But she goes out her way to accommodate them. Just like him not being in a spring concert ever or a Christmas concert these past 2 years, her classroom wasn't recorded with the rest of the school on stage in the auditorium, but she recorded them in class herself just so she could send me something.
Are you serious? Wait a minute. So the concert was recorded and put on some type of Facebook or their website, I should say. But they
nobody's even seen the virtual concert yet. It's supposed to be out the 22nd. Isn't the 22nd tomorrow? It's supposed to be out there on the 22nd virtually. But who knows if my son's classroom's in it because they were recorded separately by the teacher.
Oh, that is sad. That is so sad.
And again, this is 8 years. The year before COVID, I think 2019, my kids dressed up in Santa hats. We went to the concert together thinking my kids were going to be in the concert, and we sat in the audience and watched the rest of the school perform.
And that should not have happened. That should not.
No.
But
my
son
enjoyed being there. He enjoyed being there, but he would have been more happy up on stage with the rest of the class singing songs because he loves to sing. He's nonverbal. He's diagnosed nonverbal, but he can sing.
Not only is that sad, but that's cruel. It's absolutely cruel.
Right.
Do you think that your son knows internally that he's being treated differently from the other students? Ms. Garcia?
Yes, I hope not.
Oh, Ms. Garcia, don't get upset.
Right, and we're going to stop for a minute. And what I'm going to do is just give some information.
Go right ahead.
Other folks might who may not understand. The problem we have here in Milwaukee Public Schools and other public schools across the nation is that the IDEA laws are not being followed. Okay, they're not being followed, and they're not being followed because
they sound like they're breaking the federal law.
You said what now?
It sounds like they're breaking the federal law.
Yes, they're breaking. They're not only breaking federal laws; they're breaking state laws. The goal of special education and IDEA laws is to gear that child towards the least restrictive environment possible. Now, if Ms. Garcia is stating that her son, we heard her son singing right on Channel 6, which is the news station here. We saw we saw her son singing. There isn't any reason why her son should not have, for these 8 years, should not have been allowed to participate in the programs in that school. Ms. Garcia even stated that in the 8 years he's been there, he had never really been to the auditorium, with the exception of one time when he went to the Christmas program with her, and she was expecting her son to be on stage with the other children. That's discrimination and that's exclusion, and that should not be happening. The IEP guides the unique needs of each student with a disability. Not only should Ms. Garcia's son have been allowed to participate in the Christmas program or other school-wide programs, but possibly he could have even been able to participate in some of the specials, such as music, art, all these different things like that. If only they would have told Ms. Garcia that, or there would have been a teacher or a professional, social worker, psychologist, sitting in that IEP team meeting and said, Ms. Garcia, do you feel that your son would benefit from being a part of this of the music class with the regular peers? Possibly we can get him an assistant. But the reason why MPS is not going to talk about getting Ms. Garcia's son an assistant is because they have to pay for that. And that's why you have the person who is called the leader education liaison or whatever, who sits in this meeting and determines what the school's going to pay for and what they're not going to pay for. They didn't want to pay for an assistant for her son. But that's not the goal of the federal IDEA laws. The goal of the federal IDEA laws is centered on the child. It's centered on the child. Not the funding of NPS, of which right now NPS has $1.2 billion. So it seems to me that they need to reopen a lot of IEPs and see which children would benefit from being with their regular ed peers with supplementary aids and support, such as an HCA or a para going with them into a classroom. That's what they need to spend the money on.
Right. Are there other parents that are having similar problems that you're having?
Yes. And they
can you give me?
We aired,
can you provide me some? Can you give me some examples of how other parents are feeling about the treatment of their children?
Yeah, well, the other parents that reached out to me, they're hurt because me putting my son's story out there just opened their eyes to their own story. Like, their kids are being left out too. They wonder why their kids aren't getting notes home saying your son is going to be in this play or this play, or your son can join this sport, or your son can play in the band or music or something. Like, everybody's hurt. All these parents are hurt because their children are not being included in any of this. Like, my son, he's a deep water swimmer since he's been 2 years old. Like, I wonder how is he supposed to make it to the Special Olympics if he's not offered sports in elementary school and middle school? I've never got a paper.
They're not allowed to participate in sports or recreation activities?
No. They don't have they don't accommodate the special education kids.
You know, at this school, at this part, you know, and let me say this, Mr. Jones and Ms. Garcia, and I want to ask you a question. And you know, this woman now is a public figure, Miss Lila Hillman. Did you bring any of these concerns? Right, that's the principal at this school.
She's another story herself. Miss Lila Hillman, 2019, because I made a big deal. I told them in 2019, if my son wasn't on stage, that I was going to stand outside with a speaker and a picture of him, letting all the parents know the special education kids were left out. So she was like, no. Come 30 minutes before the concert, and we'll put him up there with the other fifth graders, and he can sing with them. Mind you, he don't know these other fifth graders because they're not in his class, and he don't know the song because he didn't recite it. And you know what? I was going to make it a big deal, but my sons were excited just to go. They wanted to go. They wanted to go with their Santa hat. She never talked to me. So I came 30 minutes early to the concert asking for her. Nobody could find her. She was running around the school. And she's never called me. Every time I call the school, I have to speak with her secretary or office lady. She's never talked to me directly.
So you've been complaining. How long have you been complaining about this issue, Ms. Garcia?
Since 2018. Because before then, I didn't know that this was happening with my son. Like, I didn't
acknowledge it. Okay.
But it's been 8 years. If I look back, I just thought maybe they don't. I think when he was in kindergarten, I was like, why didn't he have a graduation, a K-5 graduation? Why didn't he be in the concert? And this was their excuse 1 year. We didn't have enough staff.
Okay, let me say this to you, Ms. Garcia. In all of those, since 2018, have you had the principal, the special ed supervisor of Milwaukee Public Schools, the regional director of Milwaukee Public Schools, or anyone else come to you and say, Ms. Garcia, we understand your concerns. We're going to have an IEP meeting so that we can address these concerns. And in the section that says,
participation in regular ed environment, we are going to put in some information so that your son can participate with his same age peers, which is the goal of IDEA, in music or art or sports or gym or anything like that. Did anyone ever come to you to open up that IEP, to have another IEP meeting and say, we want to hear your concerns and we want to put this in the IEP?
No, never, not once.
Okay, and that's why they're going, that's why they need to be sued. And I said that on, my Facebook group, Hypocrisy in Milwaukee Public Schools, because I know what they did to you. And it's a travesty.
If you leave it up to Ms. Williams, everybody should be fired. If you leave it up to Ms. Williams, she had all those head rolls.
Absolutely.
Now, I tell you, you get Ms. Williams pissed off, boy, you chew. But anyway, I just want to go through. The principal has not sat down to you.
Even me publicly going on air on our city's like news station, she still hasn't reached out to me.
So she is aware of this issue.
She wouldn't even come outside and talk to the reporters. She had the reporters standing outside for 3 hours texting them.
Really?
Well, there's some history there with that same principal, of which, you know, we're not talking about that right now, but even at that same school, she just recently, within like last month, fired a disabled teacher after 20 years of service. She caused the termination of her job, which that would be out eventually, but she's done a lot, and there's been some discrimination concerns from others with the few African-Americans that have been at that school also. But now, getting away from that, the focus is a child. This is about a child, okay? And that's the child is the most important, and that's what NPS should have been focusing on 8 years ago. And it seems to me that this principal Hillman should be demoted or removed from that school, based on the information that Ms. Garcia is giving us right now. There is a section in the IEP, as I stated to you previously, called Supplemental Aids and Services Used to Consider a Student's Needs, okay, to be educated with non-disabled peers, okay? State and federal special ed laws require that students with disabilities are educated in the least restrictive environment, which is the goal, okay? So Ms. Garcia's needs were not met, and they violated state and federal laws, and
met. There's a whole lot of parents in that basement that have children in that basement. Needs are not being met, and I wonder. I'm sitting here wondering how deep does this slope go?
It goes very deep. It goes very, very deep. And I keep bringing up the IEP, the Individualized Education Plan.
The IEP is like your guidelines. This is your treatment
the
plan.
This is the plan
that you're supposed to go by. And the IEP is supposed to be, hold up, now help me. The IEP is supposed to go over once every 6 months.
Well, you know, yearly, this is what I want parents to know. If any parents or special ed kids are listening, the IEP is reviewed unless it changes. Because I've been in special education now for 2 years, but I have been researching. The IEP is usually reviewed yearly. Okay, they have what they call a three year reval. If they think any changes are occurring, have occurred with that child's intellectual capacity or ability to, as I say, to be included with regular kids, then they would do another reevaluation, which would include testing. Okay, so you have an annual
which the IEP is looked at yearly, and then every 3 years, if necessary, that the IEP, the child can be reevaluated, meaning tested to see where his abilities are, okay, and if his IQ has changed or anything like that, okay? But the parent has the right, and I want all parents, especially kids, to understand this. You have the right to reopen that IEP at any point in time you desire.
Right.
If Ms. Garcia goes up to that school tomorrow and say, I want to reopen my child's IEP, then they will have to send her an invitation inviting her to a meeting to reopen her child's IEP. But this time, Ms. Garcia needs to go with an advocate, such as someone
right.
from Disability Rights Wisconsin or her law firm that she may get, okay?
And also I might add that Milwaukee has a board education building, like we're all the, like the chancellor and all them, the officers, administrators.
Say that again. You said what now?
Milwaukee has a board education building.
Milwaukee has a board of education. Yes, we do. Yes.
You need to go up in there with your advocate or your disability advocate. You need to go up in there, speak to the superintendent of schools or whomever, and you need to get, because let me tell you something, Ms. Garcia, and you need to get all these parents together. Because numbers are, you need to get all these parents together, the voice your concern, and really go up to that board of education and really, really bring this to light. You already have brought this to light by going to Channel 6, but if there's more than one, they start listening. But now you see a pattern. It's a pattern. And now I document everything that you do, document everything that's going on. Like, did they even recommend a speech therapist?
Well, you know, I told Ms. Garcia, she and I spoke today, and I'm going to help her. I'm going to try to help her along. But there are many things that Ms. Garcia could do. I feel that her son has suffered immensely up to this point. I think that Ms. Garcia and her family has suffered immensely up to this point. There, of course, are things that they can do right now. She can call the Parent Center, and I'm going to talk to her about that. And if anyone from Milwaukee was a special needs student, 414-475-8393, and you ask for the Parent Center, and she can file a complaint. She can also call the Board of Governors, which is the school board, which I don't have a favorable opinion of them, but she can call them at the same number. It's the operator, 414-475-8393, and ask for the Board of Governors and file a complaint with the board. Now, I feel the damage has been done personally. She can go forward because it's about her child. So what she does need to do first and foremost is to reconvene or open up that IEP and state her needs and desires in that IEP in the area about participating with his regular ed peers and about supplementary aids and supports, asking for an HCA for him, if necessary, to go into some of these regular ed classrooms, okay? That's what she needs. That's the first. Her child is the most important, okay?
Right.
But I feel that the damage has been done in the 8 years that her child has been at that school. And I also feel that this principal, Leela Hillman, should be demoted or removed from that school because she has known about this. She has known about Ms. Garcia's plight, okay, since, according to Ms. Garcia, 2018, okay? So she should have opened up that IEP. Had Ms. Garcia come in there, she could have even gotten an advocate if she wanted to for Ms. Garcia.
Also, Ms. Gilliam has created an atmosphere for discriminating practices towards other children. And you know, I'm going to tell you something, Ms. Garcia. maybe your child will not benefit from your action, but other children that come behind you in the next year or two, if you go forth and address this, will benefit from your actions. Because the first one through the door get muddy, but everyone that follows, it benefits. So I'm just saying that it's going to take a lot of energy and courage to do this. But like you said,
I know
your son,
a lot of people are already
like you said, your son's about to graduate. Your son is about to graduate from the eighth grade.
Okay, say what you want to say, Ms. Garcia, please.
I said a lot of. I'm getting because you know I went out in the public, so I get a lot of hate messages, and I get a lot of. But I do get a lot of people who are on my side, a lot of parents, a lot of ex-teachers who feel my pain. But then I get a lot of people telling me, like, just to stop here. Like, it's just going to be a headache for me. And
okay.
Like,
no,
you
don't
know
stop.
What?
No, don't stop. Let me tell you something.
No, it's
let
your
tell
you
something.
Don't stop. You keep going.
Let me tell you something. Any fight that's going to benefit your family is worth it. And I don't care. I don't care how much pain it costs. It's going to benefit you and your family. And like I said a minute ago, you may not see the rewards, but other children that are coming up in the next year or two or 3 years will see the rewards by your fight.
You know, and let me say this, Mr. Jones, before, because our time is getting close, and I don't know if anyone has called in to speak, but let me say this quickly. You know, it amazes me how people want to minimize, okay, the plight of parents of children of color. But yet, in Grafton, Wisconsin, which is a suburb of Milwaukee, there is a parent who just won $260,000 to send her child, a white parent now, to a private boarding school, okay, in Grafton, Wisconsin, her disabled child. But let Ms. Garcia or any other parent of color complain about the treatment of their disabled child, and Ms. Garcia is getting hate messages.
How dare she? How dare she open her mouth? She should be grateful. You know, that's
right.
That's their attitude.
I want to get this out quickly. Now, one of the issues that we have, which Ms. Garcia is not going to have that issue. We talked about some things. Attorneys want big money, and the courts sometimes minimize the plight of students of color with special needs. NPS has knowledge of these hurdles, and they continuously violate the federal civil rights of students, parents, and NPS employees. Most folks have to find an attorney who will invest in their case and work on contingency or percentage of what their case may bring in. There are many hurdles, but many things can be done on the state and federal level, okay, with our Congress, if they can stop fighting, to stop these discriminatory actions if parents and workers of color start speaking up and standing against this institutional and systemic racism in Wisconsin and around the country. Now, Ms. Garcia is standing up. And Ms. Garcia, I want to say I'm proud of you, and I want to thank you.
Me too.
Because
me too,
Ms. Garcia. Right. Thank you so much. And as a community advocate in the city of Milwaukee, I tried my best. I don't have a lot of money to do things, to get an attorney to do this, to do that. But I'm going to do all that I can as a volunteer community advocate who once worked with the NAACP as a youth council advisor. I'm going to do all that I can to assist you and guide you to the people who can help you, okay? And like I stated, you know, one of the first things you might want to do, Ms. Garcia, is file a complaint on this principle with the Parent Center of Milwaukee Public Schools and also to call the Board of Governors. And I'm going to put that number out there again, 414-475-8393. We also can write a letter to Senator Lita Taylor,
who is running for Lieutenant Governor of Wisconsin, and I'm hoping to have her on one of my shows. So, you know, we have a lot of African Americans in our city of 6% in our city of Milwaukee. Wisconsin is only 6% African Americans, but we have a lot of African Americans who are running for office, and I think they will do extremely well. So I am going to ask some of them to come on our show, Mr. Jones. But we need our politicians involved. We need our politicians involved in Ms. Garcia's plight also. And so we're going to also reach out to them and as far as her son.
Yeah, from the work.
Yeah, but I really think, I'm going to do all that I can with the knowledge that I have of special ed and the people that I may know in the legal realm and things like that, as far as guiding Ms. Garcia to help her with her son. But one of the first things we need is we need her to have an advocate and to reopen that IEP so that she can put down her desire for her son for the rest of this school year and for the rest of his education. That's one of the first things we need to do.
Yes. What
are you going to take any questions? Do you have any callers calling in with any questions or comments?
No. So far, they're just listening. They're not asking any questions. But y'all can press one if you have a question or comment. They're just listening. Ms. Garcia, what would you like to happen?
Well, I would like for change. I would like for them to always accommodate. I don't want the special education kids to always be a question, like, are they going to be in this or can they join this club? It shouldn't be like that. They should, just like all the other kids are involved in everything, they need to be involved in everything too.
Right.
Yes, they should.
And I'm waiting. I'm still waiting for somebody to reach out to me.
Oh, my God.
I get nothing.
Oh, my God. You know,
Ms. Garcia, don't wait. You keep on nagging them. You keep on complaining. You keep on calling. You keep on going. You see, don't wait for them. You be proactive, and you go to them constantly, regularly. You be a pain in their neck. That's one way to get something done.
Well, you know, Mr. Jones and Ms. Garcia, right now NPS is afraid of litigation. They're very fearful. They have so many cases out here now. They have so the people the club just does not know. They have so many.
They're
cases
watching. They're killing now. I mean, Milwaukee
is really fine. They monitor my site and everything else. But they have so many cases out here right now. They're so afraid of litigation that they don't know which way to go. So they're not child centered. Okay, considering that Ms. Garcia went on television, okay, you would think that the special ed supervisor of Parkside School of the Arts would personally make a phone call to her and say, Ms. Garcia, we're going to explain the IEP to you. We're going to reopen your son's IEP, and we're going to try to address your needs. But no.
Yeah.
Right, that's admitting that we're wrong. That's admitting that we're wrong. See, that's the problem. Instead of them focusing on her son, they're afraid of litigation, and you know, it's just ridiculous. It's really sad. Mm-hmm. And I really hate that this happened to you, Ms. Garcia.
Yeah, me too, I'm very empathetic.
Yeah, I'm very empathetic to your plight. And like I stated to you, I'm going to do all that I can to help you, and don't think that this is not happening all over the nation.
It's happening all over the country.
How many children are being neglected
and abused in the educational system?
An autistic child. Because I was doing some research, and their parents won $6.7 million. After a six-year battle in Manhattan Beach Unified School District for doing something similar to what they're doing to your child. And it all centers around free and appropriate public education. But as I stated to you, you know, even the court systems minimize the plight of children of color and their parents, okay? And
So, you know, that was probably a lot of investment with some high-powered attorneys and all of that. But the federal government has the IDEA laws for a reason. And they have, and the IEP is what guides the educational program for all special needs students. And parents need to understand their rights, and they need to know that if it's something that they do not feel comfortable with, or they feel that their son can do more or benefit from more than what the school has been offering them, they can always open up the IEP and have a discussion. Now, you may have other professionals around there that may not agree with you, but at least you open up that IEP to say, this is what I want and this is what I desire for my child. So as soon as possible, your son's IEP needs to be reopened, reconvened, or rather a meeting needs to be called so that you can state all your desires with the IEP. And I'm going to go over the IEP with you when we have a chance. I need to look at your son's IEPs, and we're going to discuss some of the things that you can do. Now, I will say this also, 20% of Milwaukee Public Schools is special education, okay? And right now they have 40,614 blacks and 8,000 white students, 20,000 Hispanics. So Hispanic children and black children make up Milwaukee Public Schools, okay? So they need to do more. And all of the little canned responses from Milwaukee Public Schools, which was in that article, and also if you go on their website, you know, it says MPS and autism. MPS provides autism-specific support to leaders working with students, okay, to help provide the best practices. This support encourages inclusive practices, which is something they have not done with your child and many others. This is something that they have not done with your child and many others. So, I'm going to do all that I can as with the special ed background and also an educator to help you, Ms. Garcia. I'm going to guide you to some resources and do what I can do to help you with your problem.
And on that note, Ms. Garcia, I thank you for coming on the show and sharing
your
story and follow up and work with Ms. Williams. Like I said, she works, she got her ears to the community, and she can help you. She's been doing this for decades. Ms. Williams, I look forward to speak with you next month. And
okay, Mr. Jones.
Thank you. I thank you, and I'm going to definitely go to talk. I'll talk to you in a couple of weeks.
Yes, we are. Yes, we are. And thank you for allowing me to have a platform on your show.
No problem. Okay, folks, that's it for another week. I just want to say, be involved with your children's education. You don't know what's going on in them schools. Don't use those schools as a babysitter. Use those schools to educate your child in the right way and be involved. Ask your kids questions, what's going on in the schools. On that note, but we had another week, and I'll see you next week. Like always, I am because we are. We are because I am. Good night.
Good night. Good night, Ms. Garcia. Thank you.
You will not be able to stay home, brother.